We are talking about the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. A lot of us need to know. Joel chapter 2. Can we open it quickly? Let me just pick your Bible and papers. You will go and read these scriptures I give you. Pick your Bibles and Bibles and paper quickly. And Joel chapter 2. And we will read also Acts chapter 2. Are we there? Oh, may God give us more ministers again after this program in the name of Jesus. Every Holy Ghost baptism program we have, there must be ministers they will produce. Yes. Are we there? Acts chapter 2, after we have read Joel. Joel chapter 2, every Pentecostal church goer knows this scripture. It's a prophecy. Hallelujah. Verse 28 and verse 29. Amen. Are we there? That scripture says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. That prophecy was there and forgotten by all the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees until Acts chapter 2. Go to Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, somebody shout suddenly.
Suddenly.
Somebody shout suddenly.
Suddenly.
You have to shout it. Shout suddenly.
Suddenly.
Was it on Monday? A brother was giving his testimony of what happened to him here on Monday. The power of God packed him and threw him up suddenly. Is the brother here? Shout hallelujah if you are here. Where is he? Where are you? Shout hallelujah there. You are the one. He said the Holy Ghost came suddenly and packed him, threw him like football. It will happen again this night in the name of Jesus. Amen. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as their pastor began to teach them. Are you with me? Open your mouth. Anything that comes, just say anything. Say it. You see, you have the Holy Ghost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. A supernatural action. Hallelujah. And they were speaking in tongues and they caused the whole town upside down, confusion everywhere. What is happening? Verse 12. And they were all amazed. The Jews in Jerusalem were all amazed. And we are in town saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter Standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," where we read in Joel chapter 2 verse 28, he began to quote it, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Praise the Lord. This is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. So many prophecies in the Bible, one after the other, they must come to pass. Amen. I keep saying something. The most misunderstood doctrine and teaching in the Bible is the topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And yet that is the most important doctrine in this Bible. Who is the Holy Ghost? He's not the third person of any Trinity. Jehovah Witness said there is an active force. He's not. Write the scriptures down. John 14, verse 15 and 19. The way it is written there, the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ himself, coming in a spirit form to dwell inside of a man. Write it down. John 14, read it from 15 to 19. Again, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 10. I just want to say this for the benefit of those who have not been here since Monday. Romans chapter 8, I will just summarize it and we go into action again. Verse 9 and 10 lets us know is the Spirit of Christ, because that scripture says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, it says you are none of his. So it's the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Therefore, the Holy Ghost is the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. It's the hope of glory, because Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says, if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the grave dwell in you, that same Spirit will also quicken your mortal bodies. That is the hope that you will come out of resurrection. Christ was filled with that same Spirit, and the grave could not hold him captive. If that same Spirit that brought him out of the grave dwells inside of you, that is the hope of resurrection. Romans 8:11. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24. I'm just giving you the scriptures. Verse 49. Luke 24:49. And 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 25 is the promise of the Father, the promised eternal life. As we also see in Acts chapter 1 verse 4. That promise there is the promised eternal life. He promised eternal life. The Holy Ghost is eternal life. It's eternal life. Hallelujah. That is what Christ was trying to explain to the woman at the well in John chapter 4 verse 10 to 14. What he was talking about there was actually the Holy Ghost. John chapter 7 again, verse 37 to 39. If any man thirst, let him come to me. Hallelujah. He's talking of eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who is the Holy Ghost? John chapter 17. Chapter 14 verse 17. John 14 verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Church, if you see anybody talking lie, every time they lie, he has received the spirit of lies. I hope you know that. There is a lying spirit. I hope you know that. Eh? and there are liars, and Satan is the father of all lies. They call them false prophets, false teachers. But the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, John 15 verse 26, Spirit of truth, the emphasis is the Spirit of truth. Again, John 16, reading from verse 12 and 13. I hope you are writing it down, those who love to study the word, because you too have to learn to teach others. Yes, now. John 14 verse 26 calls him the comforter. Why is he the comforter? Why is the Holy Ghost known as the comforter? Because all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. The Spirit of God coming, dwelling inside of you, will comfort you, so that you'll be able to go through those persecutions you are going through for Christ's sake. And that same John 14 verse 26 called the Holy Ghost the teacher. The teacher. 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 29 says, the anointing which you have received said, teaches you all things. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. He's a teacher. He's a teacher. Amen. To know about God, you don't go to Bible school. To know about God, receive the Spirit of God. You will know about God. He's a teacher. He's inside of us, teaching us. I've never been to any Bible school anywhere, but he is my teacher. He teaches me every day. He leads me to what I should read and how I should understand what I am reading. That is what the Holy Ghost does. Well, get this one, that the denominations, we tell you, you have to go to a school before you can become a minister. It's wrong, though. When God calls a man, he doesn't send him to Bible school. Hallelujah. When God called his disciples, 120 of them, which school did he send them to? He sent them to the upper room there in Jerusalem. What were they to receive there? Receive the anointing to go and witness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. You can only be a minister only after you have received the Holy Ghost, the anointing. That is the certificate for ministry. Nothing more. Some of you have not answered God's call to do what you are supposed to do because you are still looking for school fees. You never get school fees, so you are looking for a sponsor that will send you. God will come and scatter the denominational system because they have created a lot of barriers and hinder the people from moving forward. If this church were a denomination, will this boy come here and demonstrate his gift like this? Will he come and do it? Can he come? He's not the pastor's son. In fact, he's from Edo. I am from Nasarawa State. It's true. I don't know him. Eh? Too far. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank God for William Branham. Thank God for a man like William Branham that yielded himself to be used to open our eyes to know the truth. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dio cannot write a good English sentence. So if you were in the denomination, Prophet Dio, they will not give you a microphone. Amen. For we are. But in Bride Assembly here, he has office. He has a coordinator. His phone number is in the newspaper. It's in our newsletter there. It's going all around. If you want to see any minister here, all our phone numbers are there. You don't have to come and queue up to see G.O. or be Bishop or be Archbishop. Amen. Hallelujah. We are back to the Bible Christianity. Back to Bible Christianity. Back to original Holy Ghost baptism that will line you up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the Holy Ghost is a teacher, according to John 14 verse 26. Praise the Lord. As I've quoted, Acts 1:8 is the giver of power. Power. Hallelujah. Over the enemy. Power of transformation. To transform a sinner to a saint. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, hallelujah. The Bible says, John 1 verse 12, 13, it says, to as many as believe to them, gave him power to become the sons of God. When he says he has given you power to become the son of God, I have listened to so many preachers interpreting that verse and I have not seen them giving the right interpretation. The power to become a son of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, hallelujah, he gives you the spirit of adoption. He makes you to become a son of God by causing you to live a life pleasing before God. That is the power to become a son of God. The power to live a life of righteousness. That's the power. Power of transformation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When he comes, he gives you power to preach. Boldness to preach. Power to cast out devils. Let them stand your way. Cast them out. He gave us power. Gives you power, strength, endurance to go ahead. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Say, he has not given us over to a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is what the Holy Ghost does. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. You understand there, the Holy Ghost is the intercessor. When it comes upon you, that tongue that you are speaking that you don't understand. Hallelujah. He causes you to pray according to the will of God. With groanings. He said, for we don't know how to pray, pray as we ought to pray. Amen. But when he comes upon you, he gives you leading. He prays through you the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. Hallelujah. He said, the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's a witness. Something inside of you that will let you know, a lie, I am a child of God, I'm going to heaven. And something that gives you that boldness, the Spirit of God. And you will continue to remain carnal until you have received the Holy Ghost. Because Romans 8 verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He will lead you what to do, when to do it, how to do it. That is the joy of receiving the Holy Ghost. And Romans 8:29 says, you know, it speaks about we destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. The only way you can be Christ-like is by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So who is the Holy Ghost again? Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is our rest. That rest there is the Sabbath. Ceasing from all your works, not a day anymore. Not Saturday. The rest now is the rest of the Holy Ghost coming and you cease from struggling to do things to please God. Why? Because Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for it is God that worketh in you, inside of you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is who the Holy Ghost is. And I've told you, he has a process. As a process. There's a process for receiving the Holy Ghost. That is in Ezekiel chapter 36. Hallelujah. From verse 24 to 31. This is the step. If you go and read it, the first thing he does, He said he will gather you from all the heathen, bring you and gather you like this, sprinkle you with clean water. The water there is two, water baptism and water of the word. That is what he uses in cleaning. And he said, clean water, because there is dirty water. The word of God that is not pure, unadulterated word, will produce clean Christianity. But the word of God that is mixed up with potopoto mud, worldliness, dirty water, it can never clean you to be a Christian. Because the true word of God, if you receive it, it touches every aspect of your life. And the first thing that people will see if you have received Christ is even your physical appearance. First, it touches on your physical appearance. When you receive the word of God, the water of the word, Ephesians 5:25 speaks of the water of the word. We are cleansed by the water of the word. The word of God is described as water that is used to wash us every day. That is the process of sanctification. The water must be clean. There is unclean water. It cannot clean you up. Can't wash you. It only add more dirt on top. The gospel that we tell you, it doesn't matter. You can dress anyhow. God is a good God. It doesn't matter. It's unclean water. It's unclean water. It's unclean water. Unadulterated word of God. If they apply that word upon you, it will stop you from painting your face like masquerade and prostitutes. Take a prostitute that will go and carry paint and paint and paint and paint and paint and paint and paint. It's a masquerade demon disturbing you. You don't know. Sister, I'm talking to you. Clean up. Clean up yourself. Appear like a human being. Don't appear like a masquerade. Go and carry nail and chuk, carry nail, chuk, paint here, paint, paint leg, paint, 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 paint. You will see somebody will go and remove eyelashes, remove the eyelashes here. Carry razor blade. Remove the eyelash that God gave them. Then carry black paint and paint that place. Ha! And the pastor said, yeah, it doesn't matter. God is a good God. God is a good God. That type of gospel will never clean you up. I'll clean you up. Stand up, carry Bible. They see you carry Bible. Then you enter, or you are speaking in tongue. And then what kind of dress are you wearing, sister? You're wearing dress that is showing your stomach. You're wearing dress that is showing your breasts. You're wearing dress that is showing your pant outside. You're wearing dress that is showing your lap. You carry Bible and you are speaking in tongue. That is why I say speaking in tongue is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. It's not. It's not. You can't be speaking in genuine Holy Ghost tongue and be walking naked on the street. You are actually having a psychiatric case. It's a mad spirit that is speaking through you. That's why you're carrying Bible and walking naked. Have you not seen them on the streets? It's a psychiatric case. A Christian should dress up. So the first thing God does in converting you is he brings you out and sprinkle clean water. Water of the word. Water baptism. Hallelujah. And when he says sprinkle, it's not water baptism by sprinkling. We have spoken enough of that here. Praise the Lord. The third thing he does, hallelujah. The third thing he does is he will give you, according to Ezekiel 36, where I gave, verse 24 to 31. The third thing he does, the first thing he gather you from all the heathen, then sprinkle you with clean water. The third thing he said, he will give you a new heart. A new heart. And take away the stony heart. What is a new heart? It makes you, changes you, and gives you a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking concerning the word of God. It removes that stony heart from you. Hallelujah. The fourth thing he does is he gives you a new spirit, a new desire, wanting to do right. That is why you are coming now. You are saying, "Ah, no, me I want Holy Ghost. Me I want go heaven. No, all this thing, what they do? Ah, all this cigar, where they smoke? All this beer, where they drink? Some people they call that vision. Now they branch beer parlor before coming here. When Holy Ghost will come upon you, your mouth will be catch fire. Now your mouth, that thing will confess. It's true now. Smell your neighbor's mouth around you. You go see, say somebody maybe drink beer first before coming here. You are possessed. It's not your fault. It's a demon. But today you'll be delivered in the name of Jesus. It's true. A new spirit. Not the Holy Ghost here too. After he has given you a new spirit, then he said, I'll put my spirit within you. And then cause you to obey his word. Hallelujah. That is the process. Well, where we find a lot of confusion is that anywhere in the Acts of Apostles where the Holy Ghost came down, they spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues. But that was when the beginning of the entrance of the Holy Ghost. The beginning of the move of God. But as time went on, there were other manifestations. Everywhere you see in the Bible, in the Acts of Apostles, where they received the Holy Ghost, they received they spoke in tongues. Then the person looking at them by that action will say they have received the Holy Ghost. But as time went on, as we study the church history, the move of the Spirit of God, especially with the restoration of the gifts from 1906, Azusa Street Revival, until now, as we follow the various move of God, we saw that there have been other manifestations that were genuinely a move of the Spirit. But it's not in the Bible. But it does not contradict the Bible. The reason is Apostle Paul, line them up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He called them the manifestations of the Spirit. They become gift. If you notice that speaking in tongue and interpretation of tongue is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as a gift. So by that gift, you know that you have received something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is what we saw in Joel chapter 2 verse 28. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And something will happen. What will happen? The young ones will prophesy. The old ones will dream dreams. The young men will see vision. That is something to let you know that they have received something. That they have received the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when we talk about the evidence of the Holy Ghost, amen. Amen. You cannot pick one and run off with it. It's a combination. It's a combination of these three things. These three things must be there, complete, total. The first is that the gifts will manifest. If you are born again, the gift must, I say must, I repeat, must. No member of the body of Christ is redundant. I keep emphasizing this to counter what you have been wrongly taught. I've been saying this here over and over and over and over and over. The reason is, Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 explained that clearly to us. There's one body of Christ, but with many members. And every member of that body is a functional member. You are a joint. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about every joint supply. And he likened the body of Christ to this physical body of a man. One body called Moses Alu. Many members in this body, but all is one body. Making this one body, we have the hand, it's a member. We have the leg, it's a member. The eye, it's a member. The nose, the ear. Some are visible, according to Apostle Paul. You can see the head, you can see the eye, the nose, the ear. But you cannot see the heart. You cannot see the digestive system, the reproductive system, they are all covered. The kidney, the lungs, they are all members of that one body. And he said, if one member suffer, he said the rest suffer with it. Because they are connected. If one hand is in pain, will you be able to sleep that night? The eye can't close. It will begin cry when the pain is too much. Tears. Not be the hand they cry, now the eye they cry. Why? My brother is in pain. Every part supplying something. Now, he said, by one spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13, by one spirit are we baptized into the body. So when you are baptized, that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brings you into the body of Christ and you become a part, supplying something to the body. So you can't be redundant. There's something you have to supply to the body for the progress of the gospel, for the edification of the body, for the comfort of the body. There's something you have if you are born again. And how do you function? How do you know your ministry? They keep telling me, Pastor, they say they call me. Everywhere I go, everywhere, several places I go, they will say, the call of God is upon me. The call of God upon me. Me, I don't know, Pastor. How do I confirm my call? How do I know which one? Which one am I to do? And that is part of the confusion going on. What determines your call is your gift. The gift you have determines your call. And don't say, okay, how will I know my gift? Kenneth, how did you know your gift? Church, Kenneth, when you received the Holy Ghost, did I teach you how to see vision?
No, sir.
Eh?
No.
Even me, sir, and I ask you, I think today, before I came to sit down, I tap you. I say, so you feel seeing something where I don't feel seeing now.
Yes.
I think that's what I asked you.
Yes.
I said, so you didn't see something now where I don't see. Amen. So I didn't teach him. Praise the Lord. So you won't say, how will I? They say, I have a healing gift. How will you know you have a healing gift? Be praying for people. Now if you prop a person, is he healed? Is it not a gift? Eh? They say I be prophet. They say I be prophet. If a person they tell you say you be prophet, that means you not be prophet. Praise the Lord. So your gift determines your ministry. But they say I'm an evangelist. How will you know you're an evangelist? It comes with a burden. Every gift that comes, remember, it is an action of the Holy Ghost. He pushes you. You can't sit. An evangelist, when you receive the Holy Ghost, anytime you see a sinner, you are crying for him. You are saying he must be saved. The burden for souls to be saved is what pushes you to go and evangelize. And that person, the evidence of your call is that thing that you are doing. That is the thing. Anytime you are doing, you derive the most joy. Oh, it is the only time you are ever happy during the whole day when you find yourself doing that. A prophet that struggles to see people is not a true prophet. He will sit down there, now people go beg and say, you go crash, or leave them, you go crash, leave them. He will tell you, but what do I do now? The people have problem. The Lord is still talking to them. Let the Lord talk to them. But when you see him, they dodge, they run, they dodge. He's not a prophet. He's not. Now money they find.
If you poor, if a poor man come, from money to now, sit down. Nobody drop anything. But they sit down for here. All of them come from money to now. Now people are just, they see, people just, they see. No, of them give me anything to cook. They don't drop for me. I don't do. Who did there? Coordinator say, tell us I don't tire. Where they go? Praise the Lord. You have a healing gift. Anytime you see a sick person, you can't sleep until that person receives healing. It's a burden that comes upon you. That is how you will know your ministry. And so, every born again Christian, you are born again because you have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. You are not a Christian until you have received the Holy Ghost. You're not a Christian until you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And don't let anybody deceive you that the day you came to the altar and say after me, from today, Jesus, forgive my sin, I will serve you till I die. From today, I don't do bad thing again. Write my name in the book of life. Okay. They said, did you say it? He said, from today, I'm born again. Say it, yeah, from today, I'm born again. You see, you are born again. See, you are born again. Just look for a good church and attend. Look for a living church and attend. And begin to confess and believe that you are born again. Then you will be born again. Now lie, yo. You are not born again. Anything, no. You are born again only if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why I say they have confused that doctrine and made people begin to think they have something that they don't even know how it looks like. And I say they have it. You speak in tongues, they say, you have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Treat this as evidence. Number one, I said the gifts we manifest. Secondly, there is what Apostle Paul called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. That is the nature expressed. Which spirit is in you? You will express it by the life that you live. If a man be in Christ, is a new creature. Character will show. You can't have the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, the Holy Ghost, he that is led of the Spirit is the Son of God. Those that are led by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost can never lead you to a prostitute house. You can't have the Holy Ghost and it will lead you to a nightclub. You can't have the Holy Ghost and it will lead you to go and sleep in your boyfriend's house. We'll never marry you. The footstep of the righteous is led of God. Now he leads you, go to your boyfriend's house, make him sleep with you. So you have to understand that. And in Galatians chapter 5, if you are writing it down from 22 to 26. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, those are the fruits. I'm listing them for you now. Read it from verse 7 down to the end there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. One important evidence. The fruit, love. He gave it a whole chapter. Read it from verse 1. So the fruit will show which spirit you have received. Fruit will show which spirit you have received. Every time there's a certain opportunity, you'll be lie. That means you have received a lying spirit, not the spirit of truth. The third one now is accepting and obeying the word. The evidence. When the word of God is presented before you, because the Holy Ghost wrote this Bible, this is the written word of God by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost living inside of you, when a scripture is read, something inside of you will witness that that is the truth. Hallelujah. The deep called to the deep. There is the deep to respond. Praise the Lord. That is why I say, you may have been walking in error, but the Holy Ghost, like a woman pastor, out of ignorance, because you have received an anointing, the grace of God is so much upon you, lot of the gift is there, then you go and gather people, you say you are pastor, Reverend Mrs., Pastor Mrs., and that, and you're doing so well, all of a sudden you meet a man of God that opens the Bible and shows you that it is not your position in the body of Christ. A woman, according to this Bible, cannot pastor a church. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that a woman cannot pastor a church. It's written in the Bible. If it is the Holy Ghost you have received, if it is the Holy Ghost you have received, and you see written in the Bible, the Spirit of God inside of you will be saying amen to every word of God. Amen, amen, amen. You will repent. That is evidence. You will go, if your husband is the one there before assisting you, you hand over and go and stay away. Stay and take your position. A woman cannot lead where there are men. The Bible forbids it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible does not permit a woman to be a deacon. So there can't be deaconess in the body of Christ. But God can use women. Ah, Sister Ngozi, for instance, sent a message to me that she has a message for some people. Please, may the message come back again this Saturday night. Hold it. When we come back Saturday, Sister Ngozi, you will prophesy. So that people will know that we are not putting our sisters to sit down. God can use them. They can do any other thing, but to come and lead as a pastor or stay in office of authority or occupy any of the 5-4 ministries in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. It's not for men and women. It's for men. And I always say that among the priests, because a sister called me the other day, said they are arguing somewhere. Among the priests, the Levites, the Levites in the Old Testament that were always at the temple ministry. Levi, didn't he have daughters? He had daughters. But only the men were made priests. Do you hear of any priestess? They were the only ones allowed to come to the altar and minister. And when Jesus Christ came, he selected his disciples. He did not add one woman among them. They were all men. And when Judas went the way he went, they wanted to replace them so that there would be 12. Was it the woman they brought? They brought another man to replace Judas. It's not by mistake. And Apostle Paul gave the reason in 1 Timothy chapter 2 why a woman cannot occupy that. And if I show a woman all this and she's so full of anointing and she say lie, 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 lie. And the same, whether male or female, we are the same in Christ. What a man can do, a woman can do, too, is the same Holy Ghost you receive, and I receive. Then you know the spirit she's operating with, she's only anointed. She has not yet received the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, your ability to accept the word of God, anytime you do anything wrong and you see it in the Bible, you will kneel and say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't know. And not just accepting, you accept and obey the word. John chapter 8, verse 47, he says, he that is of God heareth God's word. John 8:47. John 10:27. Again, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. 1 John chapter 4, I love that one more. Verse 6. He said, the apostles were saying, we are of God. He that is of God heareth us. And they wrote this Bible for us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know us the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth, we hear the apostles. And Apostle Paul is one of them. And Apostle Paul said, if any man preaches any other thing contrary to what we have preached, let him be accursed, in Galatians chapter 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, coming to practical, for which reason we have been here since Monday and going on, just a way of reminding you and those who are just joining us. Praise the Lord. Now, listen. Practical now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just quickly close on that. And let's see how far we can go again today. Let's see how many will enter the kingdom today. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in chapter 12, verse 4, he said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. And to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and the rest, nine of them, going down. But my emphasis is in these three key words: administration, operation, and manifestation. I've been saying this, administration, listen, because he said different administration. Differences of administration, but the same Spirit. Administration is the action of God releasing the Holy Ghost on you. That is, he administers the Holy Ghost on you. In administering the Holy Ghost differently, five of you sitting down in front here, the five of you here can receive the Holy Ghost, but the way he will give you will be different from the way he will give you. The same way he will give you will change it and give you. In you receiving it, you may see a ball of fire coming upon you. Ooh, bah. Another one may hear thunder, blast, bah. It is saying, die. You die, you go. By the time you wake up, because you say, we don't go. Now leave him there here. What will happen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Another one may be the power of God pack you and just throw you, like that brother said it happened. One other brother gave his own testimony. The power of God pack you and just throw you like football. Amen. That is how you received. Amen. That is how you received. That is the administration. Somebody else may see a light. Another person say he saw a cross was coming, then he changed to a dove and entered him. That is the way he received. Then we have different manifestations. The manifestation now, after you have received, what follows when you are receiving the Holy Ghost? Amen. That somebody looking at you will look at you now and say, ah, you have received something. Now, different manifestations. You can fall down. You can shake, fire sensation all over you. You'll be walking as if you are drunk. Some will be dancing and dancing and dancing and jumping. Some will just be shouting and shouting and shouting and shouting. Hallelujah. Some, amen. Amen. Some tears will just be coming out of your eyes like that. Some breeze will just be blowing around you like that, around your head, around your ear. Some, of course, will be speaking in tongue. It's a manifestation. So be speaking in tongue, an unknown tongue. You don't know what you are saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there is a one again that is very common, but not too many people take notice of it. That one, the person looking at you, we don't know that something has happened. But you know that something has happened within you. You will not fall. You will not shake. Nothing visibly, nothing. But you just find a peace will just sweep over you like that. And then you feel joy. You're just happy like that. as if a burden has been lifted away from you. You just feel empty. Peace. It's a manifestation. And tonight, all these manifestations and more, you will feel it here now in the name of Jesus. Within the time we have left. Praise the Lord. Some will feel as if they want to vomit. Your stomach as if you want to empty. It's true. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You hear some people shouting, fire, oh, fire, fire, fire. You feel fire all over you. Now, each of these manifestations we burst into a gift. Then we come to the operation of the Holy Ghost. The operation of the Holy Ghost is having to do with the exercise of the gift. Always those who feel fire sensation, it later on becomes a sign in line with your gift. Begin to feel fire all over you. It has always busted to a gift of healing, a healing gift. And once you begin to feel fire anywhere you are, inside bus, in a church, you're sitting down like this, and you begin to feel that fire, it means there's somebody sick around you. The Holy Ghost wants to use you to heal. And that fire will not leave you until you pray for the person. And so people who are ready to serve God, knowing that is a gift, that's a calling, you will not ask, is anybody sick here? That thing will graduate. Sometimes you begin to feel the sickness wherever that person is having pain, symptoms. You begin to feel it in your body. And unless you pray for the person, then it becomes a sign. As you are praying for the person, when your own sign stops, you can look at that person and say, this is thus said the Lord, you are healed. Whether the person still feels it, just leave him. It's a matter of time. That nonsense is gone. It's a gift. Those who will have fire on their eye now, certainly, that's the Holy Ghost cleansing your eye. And some will have headache. Your head, ka. You see, then they say, hey, my head, oh. Later on, it has to do with the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge, I have told you, there are four. Amen. That gift, the First Corinthians chapter 12, gift of the word of knowledge, there are four. The first one is vision. That is, give a word of knowledge, the ability to know something. It comes by vision, by audible voice, by dream, or by an inspiration. That very loud thought you have. You thought it was your thought, but it's louder than your normal thought. And each time you say it, it comes to pass, or you confirm it. Now, most of those operating the gift of vision or hearing a voice, when the Holy Ghost wants to give you a vision, when he's starting with you, you begin to have headache. Serious headache. It caught your attention. After that, the vision will burst out. And you see what he wants to show you. Those who want to, you feel as if everything in your stomach wants to empty. It is a gift of prophecy. They are the ones that will say, thus said the Lord, they speak in tongues and then give message. It will end up in that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And healing is different operation. You and I may have the same healing gift, but different operation. Amen. I may have to lay hand, I may feel fire before I lay hand on you. Another one may not be fire he feel. It may be that pain he feel. Different way. But at the end, there will be healing. Is there any question? Going to happen here now. The manifestation of the Spirit. Is there any question? Yes? Only the Holy Ghost. And please don't tell me long story. Just ask. Our time don't go. Let some people receive their own today.
Praise the Lord, sir.
Yes?
Praise the Lord. Sir, I want to know, if somebody who has not received Holy Ghost, Can that person baptize somebody on a mansion baptism?
Who do you baptize? Is it not the person you converted? Is it not somebody you prayed for?
No, like in a church, that person has not received a Holy Ghost baptism.
Uh-huh.
And maybe a pastor has sent that person to go and baptize somebody in a mansion. Is it proper?
Well, I believe before a pastor will tell you to go and baptize somebody, he is sure you are a minister. And you cannot be a minister without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that there's no pastor that will just call somebody from the congregation and say, go and baptize. Then that is confusion.
Probably, like the church I've attended before, they will say that that person is a deacon or one post or the other.
It must be a minister. Before any pastor can tell anybody, go and baptize that someone, that person must be a minister. You are a minister because the grace of God is upon you through the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
So I have another question. Like sometimes in a trance, I will see myself somewhere, either doing deliverance to somebody or maybe digging out where they planted a evil seed in somebody's compound.
Well, in a dream.
Yes, I will uproot it.
No, listen now.
It's not a dream. When I do the job, when I wake up, I'll feel the pains. I know that I've done
it. No, it's still dream. It's still dream. Now, I told you dream is the gift of the word of knowledge. It's a gift, it's the word of knowledge. And sometimes God can use you. You know, so many things happen in the spirit. God can come to use your spirit to go and deliver someone. It's still word of knowledge. You can wake up and you will tell somebody that this person has been delivered. How? You know what happened in the spirit. It's a knowledge. Gift of the word of knowledge. God can use you to deliver anybody. And that is why you wake up, you feel physical that you have done some job. Is a God, the Lord use your spirit to deliver somebody somewhere. Sometimes you know the person, sometimes you don't know the person. Yes?
Sir, my question is, can person receive Holy Ghost and at the same time be chained?
Be?
Chained.
Chain?
Yes.
What type of chain?
That is two legs.
While under anointing?
Yes, sir.
No, you can even be chained, not only chained. My microphone. Yes.
Pastor, I've been asking God to make my calling and election sure.
Yes.
So, like an experience I had. As you were saying, someone can receive the Holy Spirit anywhere.
Yes.
I was in my room one day, I was praying.
You want to ask me a question because I can't take too much of long stories. Yes, please, be brief. What exactly do you, are you not clear? Let me explain it. Chap, chap. Yes.
As in, I was in my room, I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then, I felt as if someone was pulling my shirt at the back. Then after that experience,
yes, sometimes physically, there's a young man that received the Holy Ghost and he saw a hand that pushed him, but he turned around, he didn't see anybody, so he said he decided to balance over. So he said the first one that pushed it was this way. So he decided to balance this way. He said the thing took him back again this way. A hand packed him. It's a manifestation. So it can happen.
Okay, because after that incident, I felt like as if my eyes was bright, something like
it's a manifestation that confirms it. Thank you. Yes?
So out to us, there is something like lightning that always come out of my eyes every time I'm walking along the road, the street, and something like warm always shows on my face. Sometimes I even get distracted, sir. Please, I want to know what is that, sir.
Go and see an optician. Why do you link that to the baptism of the Holy Ghost? When you are walking on the street, then you begin to see.
As in lightning.
You just be seeing lightning.
Because there is a time we did a baptism in the youth camp.
Uh-huh.
Since then, that thing has been disturbing me.
That's what I want to find out.
And I don't know, sir. The thing is disturbing me even now.
Was it the program I took you people to the camp for the Holy Ghost?
It was the program for the youth program.
Youth program last time.
Yes,
and then we ministered the Holy Ghost there.
Yes,
after
sir.
Then, you'll be seeing certainly that we burst out to something now. Continue to pray, Lord. What do you want to show me? It will burst out. Yes?
Praise the Lord. Daddy, please, I want to ask this question because this thing has almost been confusing me. Most times when I wake up under anointing, I be so much a kind of disturbed because the thing used to come so much on me. So about 2-3 people has told me, say, boy, this anointing is too much. Why don't you control it? But I don't know how to control the thing. So
you see, there is a young girl yesterday that I saw. She's very, you know, anytime the Holy Ghost comes, she's one of the first they will drag to the altar. So I saw her yesterday. I said, I didn't see you at the altar. I thought you were not in church. She said, ah, daddy, our person, they grow now. Now, she said that she has been begging God. Begging God. So, every time. And that took place for years. She says she kept begging God. Because she will come to church dressed. She will go back with... sometimes with wound. So she kept begging. And I always say something. Most of those with this violent anointing. Most of you with violent anointing. 99.9% of all of you with violent anointing, they are always the unwilling ones. Unwilling to yield themselves. Thought. You go see them now. Thought. You go see them now. Praise the Lord. And so the angel, can he force you? That is another mystery. To make you know. It will come violently on you. When you eventually submit, you don't see it again. Yet the kit will still flow. Because when you are under that anointing, you see some things. You hear some things. You see some things. But those same things, you can still see them without that violent anointing. But you will not submit. So, but once you come to a stage where you become submissive, like, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Eventually, it will stop.
But Daddy, to my own best of knowledge, I've tried in the area of submission. But even...
Okay, continue to pray. Lord, take her easy with me. Father, take her easy with me. It's between you and God. And he will answer you. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Yes?
Pastor, when one hungers for the word of God, can it be a gift?
Huh?
I mean, when one hungers for the word of God, can it be a gift? Is it a gift?
When you hunger for the word of God?
Yes.
No, it is evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost too. Because it gives you a thirst for the things of God. It gives you, that is, the spirit of God, your spirit has been changed. A new spirit has been given to you to make you thirst for the things of God. You now desire the things of God. Yes.
Then when you don't have this gift, maybe you've not seen the gift. Does it mean you've not received?
If you have received, there must be a gift. It's just because of where you are. The atmosphere you worship affects your gift. Church. The atmosphere you worship affects your gifts. And especially the gift of the word of knowledge. Whenever the Holy Ghost reveals anything to you, you don't say it. He reveals, you don't say it. He reveals, you don't say it. Later on, you'll be silenced. It means you are no more reliable, and he's not entertaining you by those revelations. He will look for somebody else that is willing. And when you are in a church where you are not encouraged to use that gift in any way, you don't have to carry microphone before you use the gift. You have your various groups, house fellowships, prayer groups, whatever group you belong, where you operate there, and every leader of that group must encourage the people that are gifted there to function. And once you are in a wrong place, I am telling you, your gift will never function. And the danger about it is that gift, you are going to account for it. God is going to tell you, what did you do with that gift that I gave you? Yes?
Pastor, you said something about a woman pastor. That if a woman pastor is preaching and declare herself as a pastor, that she's filled with the Holy Ghost. So now I want to ask, will she go to heaven?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The only people that will go to heaven are those who have received the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. One, if you have received the Holy Ghost will bear witness with you whenever the word of God is open to you. If she's doing it in ignorance, and she has never known those scriptures, she was serving it, she was just serving God like that, she will, if she has received the Holy Ghost and fulfilled all the other conditions, she will go to heaven, but there will be no reward for what she has been doing, because you can only be rewarded in where God has placed you to walk. There will be no reward. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor, please, there's something that used to happen to me. There's one particular man I do see in the dream. And anytime I had a dream, if I didn't say it out, something must happen. As in, terrible something must happen.
Yes.
So, I don't understand. And anytime I had that dream, if I want to say it, I can't be able to say it.
Why?
I don't know.
You said there's a man you used to see.
Yes.
The man stopped you from talking.
No, anytime I saw that man in my dream,
yes,
it will take me to so many places.
Okay, the man that takes you to places to show you. Now, for every ministry gift you have, there's an angel that ministers the anointing. That voice you hear is the angel talking to you. I hope you know that. That vision you see is the angel of the Lord showing you what to do. Ministering spirit, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Ministering spirit sent forth to minister to them as a heir of salvation. So you are blessed. That is a prophetic gift. After some time, you will be seeing that man physical now. That is not where you are sleeping. Only you will be seeing him. Only you will be seeing him. Me, I'm not going to see him, because it's not for me. It's for you. Praise God. Yes?
Praise God.
Okay. I think the question should be enough now. Yes?
Pastor, what I want to ask you is this. The thing has been confusing me, sir. Sometimes somebody will come to me. I'll look at you and tell you what is holding you exactly. And the person will confirm you to say yes. For instance, I'll be counseling somebody. I will tell him, the Lord is about to give you a jeep. He said yes. Like my neighbor some time ago.
So what is the question?
So the question is this, sir. I've not seen myself falling under anointing as per baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I can give somebody a message and he confirm it.
But I have been saying this, and I say everybody cannot fall under anointing. I've said this several times. I say some will fall down. Some will not even fall down. I say you are standing, you just feel a peace that passes, you know, like that. And what you have is the gift of the word of knowledge. It's the word of knowledge. It's not a vision you see. It's not.
I speak, the person confirm it.
No, it's not a vision you see. Answer me. Is it a vision you see?
No.
No, but how do you know? You find yourself saying it.
Yeah.
A thought comes to you that you know that this is not an ordinary thought. Now, I operate that same gift, but I have never fallen under anointing. But I know when I received the Holy Ghost. And I know what happened to me that day, but I didn't fall under anointing. So people looking at me will not know I received the Holy Ghost. But from that day, things changed spiritually around me. That's why I'm sure it was the Holy Ghost I received. And the life I live confirms it. So that is a manifestation of